In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The Supreme Court has just made the determination that marriage between two men or two women is not against the law. Those who confuse the state with the church are in a great quandary, but the Orthodox Church has been through many different kinds of government down through the course of the last more than 2,000 years. And so this is a teaching moment for us. Precision and clarity is important. Friends and politicians and entertainers, some of them combine those things, will try to inflame our passions. Even some religious leaders, who are more politicians and entertainers than true religious leaders, will try to inflame our passions to serve their own purposes, unbalancing our spiritual lives while tempting us into a sense of moral superiority. As Orthodox, we can see that there is something wrong in this kind of situation already. Government over us is no substitute for inner government. There are some Christian traditions believing that all men are totally corrupt, also believe that government must be used in order to control those who are totally corrupt. There is a historical church that believes that. And those that rebelled, while they rebelled against that church, they kept the idea that government must be used in order to control those who are absolutely corrupt. And so there has to be a combination of church and state. Orthodox don't fall for that. Government over us is no substitute for inner government. We should not fight to make government over the land, political government, a substitute for our inner government and the spiritual struggle that is the life of our working out our salvation. There are many things that are legal that will destroy us inside of ourselves. Churches that claim that we are corrupt and unable to govern ourselves want the kind of government, believe as part of their religious faith that that kind of government is necessary. We don't. We have lived in a lot of different kinds of environments as far as government is concerned, and survived and remained ourselves. We don't need to define ourselves as Christians by way of politics. Metropolitan Tikhon has responded to this judgment of the Supreme Court with balance and spiritual wisdom. He has said this: "We should thank Almighty God that we live in a country that allows us the First Amendment rights to worship freely, practice what we believe as Orthodox Christians, and live as examples of Christ, our Savior, and his love for others. The ruling of the Supreme Court does not change the teaching of the Church, but it does remind us of the need to be Christ-like in our dealings with everyone. The state has the responsibility to enact laws that protect the rights of each individual. The Church does not bless same-sex marriages," in quotation marks. It's a strange expression that people have come up with, "or view them as sacramental, but it does see the image of Christ in every individual and his or her worth in the eyes of the Lord who died upon the cross for our salvation. We, the Church," as Metropolitan Tikhon says, "must care for those who are in need, help those who are victims of prejudice, racism, or persecution of any kind, and provide for those who are sick, destitute, homeless, or imprisoned." It is possible that this decision will spark a rise of emotionally grounded and self-righteous religious fervor that is not Christian. I want to give you some quick excerpts from one section of Father Thomas Hopko's address called "The Homosexual Christian." I've made it into a flyer, and I'll make it available. But there's one section in particular that is relevant here, and that section is this. Unwilled sins. Unwilled sins. And there are lessons here for all of us, regardless of what sin plagues us. According to the Orthodox Church, not all sins are willful and voluntary. Not all sins are willful, chosen, voluntary. And not all acts of sin are the conscious fault of those who do them. At least not at first. Now remember, our tradition does not focus on legalism. Is it your fault? Are you guilty? Are you blamable under the law? That's not our understanding of sin. So you have to remember that to get everything he's saying here. Not all acts of sin are the conscious fault of those who do them. Doesn't mean they're right or okay. At least not at first. They can become habitual, you see, and then they're accepted. In a word, sin is not always something for which the sinner himself or herself is necessarily culpable. Now, I have to say something quick about this word, culpable. It's a good word, as Father Tom is using it. I've had it used as a pun on my name, Culp. Ah, culpable. Well, I have to point out that my name, Culp, is a Germanic form of the word for the top of the head, a cap, or a helmet. It has nothing to do with the word culpable. What does culpable mean? Culpable means blamable. Can you blame the person? Can you accuse them for it? If there is something that they have not chosen, it's involuntary. Are they punishable for it under a kind of legalistic way of understanding sin, which is not our understanding of sin? And if there is a kind of a residue of that way of understanding sin, you could find yourself among those who react in a violently emotional way against this court decision, in a self-defensive and self-righteous way. Blaming. Not always something for which the sinner himself or herself is necessarily culpable, blamable, in a complete and conscious way. There are things within us that we need to struggle against. Not everything is simply self-chosen. Father Hopko says that there are sins of ignorance and passion, sins which work in our members, as St. Paul says, even against our rational and conscious wills. Romans 6:8. These are the sins referred to in the church's prayers when the faithful beg God for forgiveness and pardon of sins which are not only conscious, but unconscious, not only voluntary, but involuntary. There are sins which are involuntary, unwilled, unchosen. Sins which overcome people and force them by irrational impulses and compulsions, by weaknesses of the flesh, emotional drives, and misguided desires into actions which they themselves do not want and often despise and abhor, even when they are engaging in them. These are known traditionally as sins of passion. Now, I could form a movement, Overeaters Liberated, and we could carry banners and walk down the street and say, we should be free to indulge our passions. This is who I am. Look at me. There have been great men who were very, very large. There's nothing wrong with this. Even though it's killing me, not just physically, but spiritually. Basing who we are on our passions and desires of the flesh, whether they're conscious or unconscious, it's going to destroy us spiritually. No human being has an identity that can be based on passions, lusts, desires of the flesh. Doesn't make any sense. Father Hopko says that the fact that these sins are not freely chosen do not make them any less sinful. To sin means to miss the mark, to be off the track, to deviate, to defile, to transgress, whether or not the act is consciously willed and purposefully enacted, and whether or not the offender is personally, freely, and fully at fault. and we have to stand against those people who will self-righteously point at a sin, a way of missing the mark, and claim that they are doing so in a good Christian way. We must not react in that kind of way against those who suffer from sins that are not our own. There is not a single desire of the flesh that won't betray us if we put our identity, our way of understanding ourselves, onto it. We cannot build who we are on any passion or desire arising from the body, because every one of us, regardless of race, gender, or this peculiar expression, sexual orientation. What a strange expression. There is an assumption behind it that sex is foundational to our identity, our nature, heterosexual or homosexual. We would deny that. You are equally human, equally created in the image and likeness of God. In either case, regardless of race, gender, or sexual orientation, is so very much more than any of those biological facts about us. Regardless of race, gender, or sexual orientation, which is an odd expression, let me remind you. Every single one of us is created in the image and likeness of God. And so this is a moment for us to search our hearts and to see if it is so difficult for us to identify with someone who has an inner built-in way of missing the mark that they don't seem to be able to just confess and abandon. Father Hopko says that those who struggle against this kind of inward cross are those who are called to a special spiritual life of struggle. And it doesn't help such a person, whether we're talking about this particular subject or whether we're talking about some other kind of sin that is like this, when people make fun of them or condemn them because it's not socially acceptable. Now, some sins have become socially acceptable, but it doesn't mean that we should circle the wagons and start defining ourselves on the basis of those that we refuse to consider fully human beings, struggling with the same kinds of sin that we all struggle with. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.